It's game day for the Buffalo Bills as they take on the Detroit Lions this afternoon out at New Era Field. Buffalo's banged up in the backfield. LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory are both questionable for today's game, and there's conflicting reports between ESPN's Adam Schefter and NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Schefter reports that McCoy is not expected to play while Ivory is a game-time decision, and Rappaport has it as the opposite, reporting that McCoy would be the game-time decision and that Ivory would not be able to play. If both McCoy and Ivory cannot play, Buffalo would only have Marcus Murphy and Keith Ford available to them in the backfield this afternoon. The other injuries for Buffalo, tight end Logan Thomas and kicker Steven Hauschka, are questionable for the game, while cornerback Ryan Lewis is out. As for the Lions, Adam Schefter reports that quarterback Matthew Stafford should be good to go for this afternoon. Stafford and tackle Taylor Decker are the most notable of six players questionable for Detroit. There are also five players already been ruled out for the Lions. Those are running back Kerryon Johnson, receiver Bruce Ellington, tackle Rick Wagner, defensive end Deshaun Hand, and safety Charles Washington. Around the NFL, a couple of scores from last night. The Browns keeping their playoff hopes alive. They beat the Broncos 17-16, while the Texans take down the Jets 29-22. Ian Rappaport reports that Steelers running back James Conner will not play today, but Conner's expected to return in Week 16. Rappaport also reporting that Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with cracked ribs. Colts receiver T.Y. Hilton, a game-time decision against Dallas. Meanwhile, Cowboys linebacker Sean Lee expected to play against Indianapolis today. Seahawks receiver Doug Baldwin expected to play this afternoon against the 49ers, and for San Fran, running back Matt Breida and receiver Marquise Goodwin expected to play today. To hockey, the Sabres couldn't get a win last night, but the defending champion Washington Capitals needed a shootout to beat Buffalo, winning 4-3 against the Sabres. Jack Eichel for the Sabres, a pair of goals, while Rasmus Dahlin had a three-point night. Buffalo has the second of their back-to-back this afternoon, a 5 o'clock puck drop against the Boston Bruins. Time check the border crossings, brought to you by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys. If you're coming to the States from Canada for this game, it's all smooth sailing on the Peace Bridge, Rainbow Bridge, and Lewiston-Queenston Bridges. This update is brought to you by Fiegel and Carr. Starting December 18th, if you have a DWI, you will be barred from Canada. Contact Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. For a look at traffic around New Era Field, go to Alan Harris.
Coming down the thruway right now, we got wet conditions for you. The 219 getting down towards Miles Strip. You're doing all right when you get off at Miles Strip, head down towards the stadium. Heavy traffic right now, southwestern at Abbott. We've got heavy traffic, Big Tree at Abbott. Abbott Road is closed in front of the stadiums right now. Just talked to our man down there. All the lots are open at this point. Don't have any problems. Even the camper lot is still open. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com today. I'm Alan Harris on the Buffalo Bills Football Network.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Let's just do it, okay?
Ready!
1, 2, 3!
Now, it's countdown to kickoff with Howard Simon. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
It is countdown to kickoff. Be prepared for a wet day here in Orchard Park. For the game today against the Buffalo, or between the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions, it is a 1 o'clock kick. John Murphy, Mark Kelso calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Broadcast Booth. Make the switch to Northwest and get back to living. Thank you for joining us. My name is Howard Simon. Jeremy is sticking around for the huddle portion of my show here. Nate is off today, and we are going to get you ready for the Lions and the Bills in what looks to be, rainy conditions. The weather forecast calling cloudy skies, upper 30s, 80% chance of rain. It's raining right now. It was raining on the drive-in, and it looks even over the course of the game, afternoon showers are still
so
in the forecast today.
Miserable today.
Yeah, I'm not trying to depress people, but sure, wet is not good. Right?
No, wet cold is bad.
You'd rather have snow over rain?
Yes.
You'd rather have nothing, obviously.
You'd definitely rather have snow than rain.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention something in the entire 2 hours before I came here. The red jerseys today.
Oh, the color rush. Is
yeah.
It red? It's not all blue?
It's red on red.
Because they tweeted out color rush yesterday, but there was a video link to blue and blue. And I thought, when I heard color rush, I thought red, red.
It is.
Love red, red.
It's red on red.
Especially for the holidays.
That's a good point. Maybe they're doing that because of that.
So can the Lions go all silver? They're going to go all blue.
I think they probably go all white, or maybe white and silver, or white
they
and blue.
They could go all blue.
No, that's not happening.
All red versus all blue. We'll pretend it's election day.
I'm excited about the red, though. I like the red. I think they should wear them more often.
I still like the all-red versus the Jets all-green.
Yeah. Well, the Lions aren't wearing all-blue, but the Bills are wearing all-red. Okay. So if you're cold, you can be heated by the fire of the Bills' red jerseys because they're fire.
Hopefully you'll be heated by a really good performance from Josh Allen, who hopefully we are talking after the game today about the Bills passing the ball successfully and not Josh Allen leading the team in rushing. Although, depending on what's happening with LeSean McCoy, depending on what's happening with Chris Ivory, as you heard in the update, there are conflicting reports on the status for both of those players today. It's entirely possible the Bills' leading rusher on the season will also lead in rushing again today, and that'd be Josh Allen. But I'd like to see, you know, the passing game today. I want to see a little bit more from him. I thought he was kind of so-so last week against the Jets, up and down, left some plays on the field. And, you know, yesterday, but a lot of you watched Sam Darnold, and he's looked good in his two games since coming back from an injury. Maybe you watched Baker Mayfield last night. He didn't have eye-popping passing yard stats, but he had a couple touchdowns, and they have a chance at a winning record this season. I think I'd like to see Josh take another step forward again today, because last week I just thought he was he didn't progress from the Dolphins game and the Jags game. I thought he was just kind of so-so in the game against the New York Jets last week. What are you looking for from Josh Allen today against Detroit?
Sam Darnold's game of last night, mm-hmm. 250, two touchdowns, pocket passing. Not to say that if he doesn't do that, you know, it's a failure, but at this point we know he can run it. You know, we're talking about as you're looking to see the progress of a young quarterback, the things you want are the things you don't see a lot of. All right, let's see him pick apart a defense going 6 of 7 on a drive for 82 yards down the field and just systematically make the Lions look like fools. Like that, you know, to me that'd be great. Doesn't mean it has to happen, but you're looking to him to check the boxes he has not yet checked. And for my money, a lot of that is pocket passing. There's been some. The touchdown pass to Zay Jones against Miami might be my favorite throw of the season. He can make plays with his feet and make plays on the run. If he does, you know, no demerits for that. But I'm going to consistently be looking for the in-the-pocket stuff, which is the reason that they drafted him.
That's why I like the Miami game. I know they lost at the end, but I thought in the Miami game he was making plays with his arm. He ran the ball still. He ran for over 100 yards in that game, but I thought he was making more plays with his arm. Even on the drive that ends with the incomplete pass in the end zone with Charles Clay, he made some big plays. The first play of that series was, a 20-something yard pass, 27 or whatever it was, to Foster. And he made plays with his arms. I'd like to see that again today. And look, I think I heard you talk about it with Sal when I was driving out. I read some comments this week from Matt Patricia and some of the Lions players and talking about, let's make the guy a quarterback. Let's, you know, they've watched the last three games. They've seen what Josh Allen has done, not necessarily design runs, but if a play breaks down or he makes his first and or second read and decides it's not there, I'm going to leave the pocket, I'm going to run. They've seen what can happen. And it sounds like they're going to just basically tell their guys, maybe it's not about sacking the quarterback today, but it's about maintaining your lanes, maintaining the edges, and, you know, being disciplined enough to not let this guy run the football and make plays. Because I don't think they're probably looking at it going, he's a 52% passer with an under, you know, a below average receiving core. Let's make him throw the football today. Don't let him run out on you guys. So I think it will be important for him today to make some plays in the pocket. I thought the Jets did a nice job of disrupting the Bills' offensive line last week. The Lions don't blitz as much as the Jets do, so maybe it won't be as hectic for Josh, because last week the line really struggled against the Jets and it was not a comfortable day in the pocket for Josh Allen. He might have a little more time to throw the ball today against the Detroit defense.
Yeah, and there's been a stat rattling around with the Lions against running quarterbacks. So we'll see if that's a real thing or if they just haven't faced anybody. That's
yeah, the one guy they faced, I didn't look at the slew of quarterbacks. They did face Russell Wilson. It was 62 rushing yards on 34 carries. But like you said, you know, how much of it is who are the quarterbacks and how many rushing quarterbacks are there in the NFL right now and how many did they face? Did they, you know, I think. Yeah. I'm trying to remember if they faced Cam Newton. I know they faced Russell Wilson, so he didn't have a big day running.
They have allowed the fewest rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know, have you ever thought of that?
I don't know, but what defensive coordinator has a game plan designed around not letting the quarterback run the ball?
Right.
It would be so low on your list.
It's like saying,
except maybe like, on a day like today.
I know it's not exactly like this, but which defense is the best in allowing the fewest passing yards from wide receivers? You know, like it's not the kind of thing that is a regular staple for most of these teams. So the Bills present a different challenge in that way. And who's 31st in that? You know, the Lions, do they have a good defense? Is the reason that they don't give up rushing yards to quarterbacks because quarterbacks come throw it all over them?
Yeah.
Like, that's a factor to be considered.
All right, and well, the run defense has gotten better since they got Damon Harrison, but what do they do against running backs? You know, how are those numbers against running backs? I don't know that there's a defensive coordinator who, when he's putting together a defense somewhere in the top five or top ten, is, let's make sure we stop runs by the quarterback. But today is different because you have evidence these last three games of a guy who scrambles, of a guy who either A, the play breaks down so he uses his legs, or B, maybe he does at times leave the pocket too quickly. I know Sean McDermott said no, he didn't think Josh Allen was doing that, but he also pointed out that sometimes Josh gets himself into trouble when he takes his eyes, he comes down to the rush, and when he takes his eyes off of what's going on downfield and looks at the rush, maybe that's when he decides, I'm out of here. So I don't know. I think today is different. I think a defensive coordinator would look at the Bills games and say, okay, yeah, we have to take into account Josh Allen running. I mean, he has 330-something yards the last three games. He is this team's leading rusher.
He's the second leading rusher in the NFL the last 3 weeks.
To Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
Yeah, so you do have to take that into account today. But it is also about, you talked about it with Sal. I think in terms of today's game, sure, is there anybody on the in terms of running backs who can run the football? That'd be nice to see. But it also is still the continued evaluation of the young receivers. Robert Foster had a big game last week. He's had two 100-yard games, and he's really making a name for himself as an undrafted free agent. Zay Jones needs to bounce back. I thought Zay was making some really good progress, and he had a couple drops last week. You know, you were mentioning his target stats. His catch percentage is down a little bit. You know, since Josh Allen came back, I think it was a little bit under 50%. So I'd like to see Allen throw the ball. I'd like to see some success in the passing game. I'd like to see over 200 yards. Foster continue to look good. And Zay Jones, you know, get a little bit better after last week's rough game against the New York Jets. Beyond that, you know, I think Charles Clay is a goner. So if Jason Kroom can do anything, I know he's been banged up. I'd like to see Jason Kroom do something in the passing game and see the offensive line do a better job of pass protecting today. Phone lines are open too, 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-552-550. You can let us know if it's all about Allen or if there's anything else you want to watch in the game today. Corey tweeted in Robert Foster and wants to see a little bit more of Murphy. I'm assuming you meant Marcus and not Trent, since the running game is rather banged up. Murphy, Ivory, maybe both don't go today.
Football Outsiders ranks the Lions defensive DVOA 28th in the NFL. Their offense 24th. I'm sorry, their defense 29th.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, how about that? Because their offense is bad right now.
It is.
It's and that's another thing from today's game. You know, the Bills defense, it looks like a favorable matchup. Matt Milano being out, it's a huge loss for the Bills. We'll see how they try and make up for a guy, well, their best defensive playmaker this season in Milano, and how they do that, whether it's linebacker by committee or somehow they can find a way to make it work. The nice thing is they're playing a Lions offense that is really struggling. And Matthew Stafford comes in on pace for his lowest passing yards total since, I think, 2010, dealing with a little bit of a back injury. His receiving core, outside of Kenny Golladay, God help him, because they traded Golden Tate and Marvin Jones Jr. is injured and Bruce Ellington is injured, and even throwing the ball to Kerryon Johnson is not an option. He's injured. So it's Kenny Golladay and flip a coin and cross your fingers. So it looks like a good matchup for the Bills defense today. I think they should be able to win that matchup today against the Lions offense. These guys are having a hard time getting to like 17, 20 points, Detroit, on a regular basis.
I think I might like Robert Foster today for a fantasy matchup. They're talking about it today in Breakfast with the Bills, and on his last 14 targets, he has 10 catches. Like 10 for 14 is not something that guys on this offense usually get a part of. Zay Jones, in the last three games, has 19 targets, and his catch percentage is under 50. So when Allen goes to Foster, they're getting it done.
Yeah.
10 out of 14, which it's a pretty good catch percentage for an offense that does not really complete the ball all that effectively. And, you know, a quarterback that he has his misses occasionally. He has his drops. But with Foster, they've got a connection there at least the last two, 3 weeks.
And I think one of the nice things about Foster, like, he has speed, obviously. He can be the deep threat. We've seen that. And he's the best deep threat that Josh Allen has right now. But I think the nice thing about Foster and watching his development is that he is doing more than that. He's not just a, hey, this is not what I used to feel this way about Marquise Goodwin. hey, run straight down the field really fast, and we'll see if they can get the ball downfield to you. I think with Foster, the nice thing is it looks like he's got an overall game. It looks like he's got the ability to, you know, run shorter to medium range routes, to get open, to provide an option in other run other routes on the passing tree, you know, not just be a vertical threat, because they need all-around wide receiver talent on this roster, and I like the fact that Foster's done that, and he seems to have developed a little bit of a chemistry with Josh Allen so far. I think one of the other things to watch for the game today certainly is, you know, you talked about it. I think some guys on the defensive side of the ball, Tremaine Edmonds being one of them. It was a really interesting story this week. We're gonna play back an interview with Leslie Frazier, who was on the show Friday, coming up in the next segment. Really cool story this week about Kyle Williams in one of the defensive meetings, handing responsibilities to break down film with the guys after a practice to Tremaine Edmonds, who's 20 years old and has really gotten better as the season has gone on, has looked more comfortable game in, game out. And watching him and seeing him close out the season strong and take on added responsibilities, I think has been one of the big stories of the performance of the defense this season. So watching him the last few games will be, I think will be interesting as well. It's always about Josh Allen, but I think these last few games are the young wide receivers, watching Edmonds. I think, honestly, whether or not the Bills do some experimenting on the right side of the offensive line is one of the stories the last few games. I don't know. Does Butker get in? Does McDermott get in? I think that's something to keep an eye on, too. And if Keith Ford plays today, you know, we'll just see if Keith Ford can bring anything to earn a spot in the, you know, the revamped running core next offseason, since we're into offseason mode. All right, I'm going to let you get out of here early. Go pet the reindeer. Although I don't know if you can actually pet the reindeer. I didn't ask. You can say hi to Gustav.
That's his
Gustav
name?
And Bernard, right? Gustav and Bernard. Yeah, I got their names.
Gus and Bernie?
Well, I'm not on.
I'm not
close with them. Yeah. I just got to know them, so I'm not really that personal with them. It's just so I'm going to go Gustav and Bernard.
They'll be prepared today, considering the weather. They're reindeer.
Oh, wow, that's. I was going to say
reindeer.
I got it. Reindeer. I got it. I was thinking you were going something with what? Let's see. Do they have big paws? Do you draft reindeer with bigger claws or paws because it's buffalo and it's, you know, December? So, what's the matter?
Arsenal just gave up a goal in the 85th minute to go down 3-2 to Southampton.
The way you reacted, I swear one of your fantasy players was inactive.
We've got the Bills and the Sabres still to go, so there's plenty of time to redeem this Sunday.
It's a busy day today. 1 o'clock Bills, sneak in a little post game, and then 5 o'clock Sabres. So
a quick thought on the Sabres?
Yeah.
Down as many defensemen as they are on a back-to-back with less than 24 hours going to Boston. It was a terrible matchup for them because Boston shuts them down.
Yeah.
Any point is welcome.
I'm any point is welcome in any game this season, but on the road against the defending champs, I thought any. Although, man, I went to bed thinking about Reinhardt in the open net last night.
Yeah,
I swear I thought that's, you know, that play is developing. Like, they're gonna win. He's gonna score. And, yeah. Oh,
it's Boston, so people will wonder if, you know, Jack's gonna go into extra beast mode.
Yeah.
But I can't.
He's already in beast mode.
I can't imagine a higher level.
He's been in beast mode the last five games.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a landmark statement. Remember, you heard it from me first. Ovechkin's good.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to share
it. Turns out.
Yeah.
Turns out.
I think he's got a shot of making it in this league.
Go Bills. Rock the red.
Leave your headset here.
Oh, that's right. I got to take it off.
You can't take it with you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. He'll be back with me for Bills football Monday tomorrow. 803-0550. So, yeah, it's Josh Allen every game. We know that. It's the ninth start of the season. You know, hopefully he stays healthy and he ends up getting 11 starts this year. I'd like to see him win the game. You know, I talked about this. One of the things with Allen, it's, you know, how he plays, how he looks. Can he be a little bit more accurate? Does he get the ball out of the pocket? Does he have command of the offense? This week, you know, Sean McDermott was talking about how Josh Allen has become the leader of this offense. He's earned the respect of his teammates and all that. But, you know, clearly you need him to make more plays. And I get it. The part of the discussion is how, you know, can he. He can only do so much right now in a passing offense that is extremely limited. I think they have 8 passing touchdowns on the season, which is, I mean, it's really hard to believe. You'd think 8 balls might bounce off of opponents into one of your players' hands over the course of the season. But among the things with Josh Allen, so completion percentage and making plays and standing in the pocket and all this other stuff. But I'd like to see him win some games. And for me, coming out of the injury, you looked at the schedule. I mean, I thought they were going to beat the Jets last week. One of the things I thought about is, you know, could this guy get to, you know, maybe six wins? Well, probably not going to happen now. I don't think they're going to beat New England. But if you beat Detroit today and you beat the Dolphins here in the finale, he can get to 5-6. You know, 5-6 in his rookie year with an offense that is still, I think, 31st in the league in most key offensive statistical categories. Arizona is worse than the Bills. If he could get to 5-6 with this offense, a group that we think the GM and the head coach will overhaul, maybe half the starters new come opening day in 2019, to me that would be a good first step for Josh Allen. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, the Browns went into Denver and they won. And, you know, Baker Mayfield didn't have, like, a huge game. He was sub 200 yards for only the second time this season, but they won the game, and they're 6-7-1. And I think if you're a Browns fan, you're feeling really good about the direction of the franchise. You're feeling very good about your quarterback. He's put up some good passing numbers. He's shown the ability to make plays, and they're sitting there at 6-7-1. It's a really good step for them. Jets fans are probably feeling better after these last 2 weeks. Now, the record still isn't very good, but, you know, Darnold was playing pretty bad at the time he was injured, quite honestly. And he comes out of that injury and has a really nice game against the Bills, or at least a nice fourth quarter. You know, I thought the first three quarters, I mean, he was seven completions for like 65 yards. And then he led two really impressive touchdown drives and won the game. And he played well yesterday in defeat. You know, he has his team in front with 5 minutes to go. Throws for 253, couple of touchdowns. So I think Jets fans are feeling better because of the progress they've seen from Sam Darnold, but you also like wins with it. So like I said, if the Bills could get, you know, and I don't worry as much about draft position. Sometimes I do. I'm not necessarily thinking about it this year because, you know, if you're thinking about offense, there's no wide receiver at the top of the draft you're going to get. I wouldn't really freak out about not having a top five or top 10 pick to try and get an offensive tackle or even a cornerback. Maybe you might only worry about it if you're looking at one of maybe a stud pass rusher or a guy like Ed Oliver to be an impact inside. So I don't think as much about the draft position. I know they're sixth going into this week of action, but I'd like to see Josh Allen play well, but I'd like him to get some wins. I just want him to see some, you know, get some confidence, build some confidence in how he's playing and have some wins to show for his effort. Like the Miami game would have been a really nice win for him to have. What else? Is it all just about Allen? Is it anything else? Getting some tweets on that. No injuries, this person tweeted in. Allen continuing to develop and an entertaining game that still results in an L for the draft. Yeah, that might be. I bet a lot of people are thinking the same way. You know, as Eric Wood this week had a piece up at The Athletic that, you know, the game against the Jets was kind of a win-win. You know, they played okay, but they lost, and now that he's removed from playing, he understands how when the season's over and you're out of playoff contention, the higher draft pick is better. So for many of you, that might be it. Allen has a big day, and they look good, but maybe they lose in a score fest. That would make you feel good about the defense, but maybe you are thinking about draft position. Next tweet, what about this game besides Allen? Edmonds got a tweet about Tremaine Edmonds. He and Allen are all that matter to me right now. I know other spots are up for evaluation like every other position group, but I'm just watching those two. Next tweet, a complete game from Allen. Keep looking at all his reads. Don't leave the pocket too early for the run option. Accurate short game. A good win today. No drops from our receivers. And they did have an issue with some drops last week. Charles Clay dropped the ball. Zay Jones dropped a couple balls. Andrew tweeted in, it's just about Allen. Would love to see him put a complete game together. 250-plus yards passing, two touchdowns, 50-plus rushing yards. He's definitely capable of a game like this. We are getting you ready for the Bills and Lions today. 803-0550 to join us. Got phone lines open, 888-550-2550. Is it just about Allen? Is there anything else you're thinking about with the game today? The parts needed to pull together. Let's do that. Presented by M&M You Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used car and truck parts. You pull the parts, you save the money. You know what? The Lions are pretty good in terms of run defense, and the Bills, not named Josh Allen, can't run the football. So I think the Bills are going to be relying on Mr. Allen to make some passes today. Now, the Lions don't blitz a lot, but they do have some good edge rushers. They've got a couple of guys with six and a half sacks, so they can get some pressure on the quarterbacks. But Josh Allen needs to make some plays. The passing game needs to make some plays today against the Lions. Their defense has been better in recent weeks. It got off to a bad start, but they've gotten better in recent weeks. So Josh, I think in the passing game will have to be the big part of the offense today. Quite honestly, you would think it would be a low-scoring game. We know the Bills' offense doesn't put up a ton of points, and the Lions have been in quite the funk. They have averaged 16 points a game over the last seven games. They haven't been able to run the ball successfully. Their best running back is injured. Kerryon Johnson's not playing today. Matthew Stafford is playing through a back injury. He pretty much has one receiver you'd look at and say, well, that guy scares me, and that's Kenny Golladay. So they're really depleted in their passing game. I think the Bills' defense should be able to keep their running game in check, should be able to win their matchup. I think they can keep Detroit to 17 points or fewer. So there's how you get it done today. One other thing to note. Special teams, Bills special teams, has to be better than what it's done the last couple of weeks. The good news is you don't have to worry about Andre Roberts, one of the best return men in the league. Detroit doesn't have a returner like the Jets did last week. I won't say it's bad news. I'll say it's more of a I hope he's okay news, and that is Steven Hauschka. Had the hip injury after that cheap shot from the Jets last week, but he is playing today, but we'll see. Is he okay for, you know, kickoffs, point after attempts, field goals? He's missed a couple in the last week, so he has looked un-Hauschka-like. So let's hope special teams bounces back today. The Bills could use that to help them beat the Lions today. Some of the parts needed to pull it together for today's matchup presented by M&M You Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used car and truck parts. You pull the parts, you save the money. Hey, it's tailgate trivia time. I almost forgot. Jimmy Stelliano is walking around the lots, and he is checking out the tailgate parties and giving away prizes. It is presented by Country Sweet. It's all about the sauce. Go to countrysweet.com for great recipes made with Country Sweet. Jim?
All right, thanks, Howard. We are out here. We found a neat bunch of Canadian fans all the way from the 6. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Straight out of the 6. We got Kevin and we've got Blaze. What's happening here at your tailgate?
Well, we got a bit of everything going on here. Lots of booze. We just stopped to get some Caesars for you Americans out here. A little bit of Clamato and some vodka.
Sure. And I see some...
You definitely hear rumors about Bills games from all the way from Toronto, so it. We tried to prepare as much as we could, but it's hard to prepare for something like this, right?
Yeah, you can't. You just can't. You just got to go with it. And you got Bailey's down there, too, and you can't go wrong with it.
I think Bailey's is important for starting your day, you know. Just rub a little bit on your gums, pour it in your coffee, and then you're going to have a great day.
It wakes you up in the morning.
Definitely.
And the other good thing is Country Sweet Sauce. You will love the prize pack we've got for you, but you'll only get it if you answer this question correctly. Ready? The Lions and the Bills have met 10 times in their regular season and playoff history, with the Lions outscoring the Bills 193 to 184. Who leads the series in wins?
Got to go with the Bills on this
one. Has to be the Bills.
You guys are correct. Buffalo has won 5 times, Detroit only 4 times, and 1 tie. Everybody that's here at the tailgate, can I get a go Bills?
Go Bills!
All right, back to you guys.
The things you learn. So Jim, the guys Jim is interviewing, refer, you know, he said, hey, they're from the 6. I'm like, Toronto, the 6? Is it because the area code is 416? No, the internet is a wonderful thing. Up until 1998, the city that is now Toronto was broken up into 6 different cities. That's why it's called the 6. That, boy, the things you learn. This show is so educational. Okay, sure, right. Hey, don't forget, fantasy advice. Yes, this is critical. Fantasy football playoffs are going on. You might need Sal to help you out with some last-minute advice. He's going to do that around 11:20 this morning. It's brought to you by Geico. Geico may not date back to the caveman, but they've been providing great savings and service on car insurance for over 75 years. Saving your money is in Geico's playbook, so after the game, get a quote at geico.com. See how much you could save Geico. So easy, a caveman could do it. 803-0550. Join us. Countdown to kickoff, Bills Radio Network.
It's game day for the Buffalo Bills as they take on the Detroit Lions this afternoon at New Era Field. Buffalo's banged up in the backfield as LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory are both questionable for this afternoon. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport is reporting that LeSean McCoy will not play after testing out his hamstring in warmups. Rappaport also reporting that Ivory will not play either, while ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Ivory is a game-time decision. If both McCoy and Ivory cannot go, that means that Buffalo will only have Marcus Murphy and Keith Ford in their backfield for this game. The other injuries for the Bills, tight end Logan Thomas and kicker Steven Hauschka, are questionable. Cornerback Ryan Lewis has been ruled out. As for the Lions, Schefter reports that quarterback Matthew Stafford should be good to go for Detroit. Stafford and tackle Taylor Decker are among the notable names of the 6 players questionable for Detroit in this game. 5 other players have already been ruled out for the Lions, as well as running back Kerryon Johnson, receiver Bruce Ellington, tackle Rick Wagner, defensive end Deshaun Hand, and safety Charles Washington all will not play today. Around the NFL, Ian Rappaport reporting that Steelers running back James Conner will not play, but Conner is expected to return in Week 16. Rappaport also reporting that Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with cracked ribs. Colts receiver T.Y. Hilton expected to be a game-time decision against Dallas. Cowboys linebacker Sean Lee expected to play against Indianapolis today. Seahawks receiver Doug Baldwin expected to play this afternoon against the 49ers. As for San Fran, they expect to have running back Matt Breida and receivers Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin for today's game. To hockey, the Sabres couldn't get a win last night, but they took the defending champion Washington Capitals to a shootout, losing 4-3. Jack Eichel, two goals last night. Rasmus Dahlin, a three-point night. Buffalo on the second of their back-to-back this afternoon when they have a 5 o'clock puck drop against the Boston Bruins. Time check the border crossings. It's brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. It's still smooth sailing if you're coming from Canada to the States for this Bills game this afternoon. This update is brought to you by Fiegel & Carr. Starting December 18th, if you have a DWI, you'll be barred from Canada. Contact Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. For a look at traffic around New Era Field, we now go to Alan Harris.
National Weather Service says we're dealing with a wintry mix right now, so be careful out on the roadways. You're coming down the thruway, heading down towards the 219, and then on the Miles Strip, you're going to find it could be a little slippery in spots. When you get off the expressways and you head down towards the stadium, still very busy right now on Southwestern. Abbott Road still closed in front of the stadium. Talk to our man down there. The open lots, all the lots are open right now. The camper lot is still open. You can stop there if you have a camper as you're heading on down to the stadium. And this report brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision. I'm Alan Harris on the Buffalo Bills Football Network.
With Stafford, you see a guy who's got a similar arm talent as Josh is. He can make all the throws. You have LeGarrette Blount. We've obviously seen plenty of him over the years of what he can do with the football in his hand. An offensive line that I think is playing well as of late. So really a big week for us. You know, I think the games all come down to a handful of plays. You know, we saw that last Sunday. We saw that the week before. Teams with good records, teams with bad records. It's the NFL. It's tough. It really comes down to our week of preparation. Hopefully we're up to the task on Sunday.
Bills defensive lineman Kyle Williams and company getting set to take on Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff today. It is a countdown to kickoff right now, and we welcome you back. The Bills and Lions. Bills, of course, it's the 4-9 Bills, the 5-8 Lions. Today's game, by the way, proudly presented by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. If you're wondering about the weather, okay, Kevin O'Neill from Channel 2 has tweeted this out. It has stopped raining for now here in Orchard Park. But probably going to get wet during the game. In the 1 o'clock hour, according to Kevin, 60% chance of rain, 50% in the 2 o'clock hour, down to 20% in the 3 o'clock hour, and then down to 10% in the 4 o'clock hour. So be prepared for wet if you still haven't left the house and you're still making your way down here to Orchard Park. We'll see how the Bills' defense matches up against Matthew Stafford and company. One of the big storylines of the Bills' defense going into this game, certainly, who's not playing? And that is Matt Milano. The linebacker suffered a season-ending injury last week in the loss to the Jets. He had a tremendous year number two for the Bills, their best defensive playmaker across the board. Really good year for Milano. Sad to see his season end last week. We spoke with Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier on our show on Friday and talked about Milano's season and the loss of Milano and what it means to the defense.
Probably the biggest thing that we saw was the confidence level. You could see it just increase as time went on in his second season. Like you mentioned, his first year, you could see some of the positives. He was making some strides, but he came back. His confidence level was really high. And he's already a good athlete, a really smart guy. And with that confidence combined with his athleticism, and he just took his game to a whole nother level.
You know, and he brings so many different things to the table. So when you look at trying to make up for Matt Milano, it feels like this is going to have to be by committee because he can, you know, he can drop back in coverage. He can help out with the run. He creates turnovers. He flies to the football. How do you make up for a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Matt did so many good things for us. It's unfortunate that he suffered the injury that he has. But the good news, he'll be back. But he did do a lot for us, man-to-man coverage on good tight ends, good running backs, and you mentioned the ability to take the football away. So what we're going to end up doing is we got, you know, a couple of different guys that are going to be working in that position on Sunday, both Corey Thompson along with Deion Lacey, And we'll have Lorenzo moving around a little bit as well. So we've got some ways to try to compensate for some of the things that Matt gave us.
Can you talk a little bit about Thompson and Lacy? Let's start with Corey Thompson and tell us what you like about those two players and what they might be able to do for you.
Well, they're both young guys that are really hungry to get out and play, and they're looking forward to this opportunity. In Corey's case, out of LSU, undrafted, tough, hard-nosed, really athletic, can run, really smart. So he'll get an opportunity. He's been more, both he and Deion have been more of special teams type players for us. And Corey was only activated maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, whereas Deion has been a part of our special teams throughout the season and helped us a year ago when we picked him up. So both of those guys have kind of been in a backup role as special teams player, making their way that way. And now we'll get a chance to watch him at linebacker. Mm-hmm.
Let me stay with the linebackers for a moment. Tremaine Edmonds, and I was curious, we saw the story earlier this week about Kyle Williams handing over, at least for one day, the film responsibilities. He let Tremaine Edmonds lead a film session, apparently. From September through where you are now, what kind of improvements have you seen in Tremaine Edmonds' performance over the 3 months?
Oh, we've seen tremendous growth in his leadership. His playmaking ability, that play he made on Sunday, the interception he got, so happy for him to get his first interception. He's had some opportunities early in the year and wasn't able to come down with the ball, so to see him do that was great. But just watching how he's matured over the course of the season, becoming more physical, becoming more vocal, taking charge, fewer and fewer mistakes along the way, just really been impressive to watch his growth and, there's nothing but good things ahead for him.
I was reading some of your comments earlier this week about Tremaine, and I was impressed at some of the things you were talking about his preparation and his work ethic and how he's always asking, what did I do wrong? What can I do better? How do I do this? How do I do that? And I think, and Leslie, maybe even for someone that young with all the responsibility that he faces in that position and a guy who didn't play that position in college, how surprising is it to see him do all of that at that age and bring all that to the table for you?
I mean, you hit a nail right on the head. I mean, you think about how young he is. I mean, he's the youngest player in NFL history to get an interception. And with all the things that have been on his plate from day one, I mean, he was a day one starter for us. And for him to assimilate and get out and play at this level and play as well as he has over the course of the season, to not let some of the negative things that happened in September linger and continue to make the same mistakes. He grew. And, I mean, a credit to his work ethic and the way he prepares and his willingness to ask questions and to try to figure it out. What can I do to get better? Not a guy who just wants to be satisfied with being a good athlete. He really wants to be great in this league, and he puts the time and energy into being great.
Do you think that work ethic and the quick learning curve, so to speak, is attributed in part to the bloodlines and specifically his father being a pro football player?
I would think that definitely has something to do with it. And of course, his mother was a tremendous track athlete also. So definitely his genes make a difference. But that work ethic and the desire to be the best, and that comes from deep within. But you do have to credit his parents for the drive that they've given him and the athletic genes for sure.
One of the other guys, the young guys, Leslie, I want to ask you about. I mean, I think it's a little bit easier to watch, say, a middle linebacker and evaluate him as a young player as opposed to a defensive tackle. Having said that, what have you seen from Harrison Phillips in year one?
Harrison has really come along. He comes from a system in college where he was a two-gap player, just lining up over the center and just holding his gap, whereas we're one-gap defense, attacking defense, trying to, get our defensive tackles to get upfield. So it was an adjustment for him early on. But he's really come along and given us some quality snaps throughout the season. And he's another young guy that's getting better and better, and his best football's ahead of him.
Leslie Frazier with us, the Bills' defensive coordinator on the Western Hotline. A couple of things I want to ask you before we let you go, Coach, and one of them is about your safeties. It's funny, I was looking at their numbers last night, Poyer and Hyde. Now, individual stats are down from last year. Interceptions, passes, defense, they're both down. But as a team, your pass defense is better. And you knock on wood, I don't mean to jinx you, but you've given up very few big pass plays this year. So even though their numbers are down, can you give me your assessment of how you feel Hyde and Poyer have played this season in the defense?
I mean, they play very, very well. One of the factors that attribute to fewer interceptions, we led the league a year ago in not giving up big plays, at least allowed big plays. and we're on course to do it again this season. They have a lot to do with that, of course. But people don't test us down the field the way Miami tried us when Micah got an interception in that ball game on the deep ball. They just don't give us those opportunities down the middle of the field like they did earlier in the 2017 season when Micah began to discourage some of that. But both of those guys are having very productive seasons. They're probably the primary reason that our defenses lead, pass defenses lead the league right now. So
that is Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. We'll see what he can do against the Lions offense today. Holiday season is Federal Meat season. Let Federal Meats make your holiday stress-free and delicious. You can pre-order now all your holiday favorites like delicious deli platters and appetizers like Federal's rotisserie, roasted meatballs, specialty stuffed mushrooms, and stuffed banana peppers. Game day, every day, and especially at the holidays, Federal makes it special. Taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats. 803-0550 to join us. Countdown to kickoff. Bills and the Lions coming up today on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. It is Countdown to Kickoff, getting ready for the Bills and the Lions. And we're joined by a special guest here at our broadcast location, Doug Reifenberg of Victory Sports Global Outreach. If you're thinking last name, Reifenberg. Yes, his dad, legendary sports broadcaster in the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Doug, I want to talk to you about Victory Sports Global Outreach. Thanks for joining us, first of all.
Thanks
what
for having me,
Howard. Is your organization all about?
Yeah, Victory Sports Global Outreach is a not-for-profit that we started last year. About August 1st, we started it. And it's really it's a not-for-profit that we look to help under-resourced sports programs in the city of Buffalo that really can't afford the equipment that they need. So we collect used sports equipment and new sports equipment from the community and from manufacturers, and then we donate it back into the community to help serve those in need.
Now, for people who are listening and saying, I want to help out, I've got equipment we can get to you, how do they do that?
Yeah, we have a lot of different donation locations around Western New York. The best thing is probably just go to our website. It's www.victorysports.org. Again, that's victorysports.org to find all the different locations.
They can donate equipment, and they can also become sponsors as well?
Yeah, that's obviously a very important part of any not-for-profit and charity is corporate sponsorship to help us kind of keep our programs going. And we have a program called Bridge the Gap Sports that we're hoping to launch into almost a national program.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because that's an important part of the community. What is Bridge the Gap?
So Bridge the Gap Sports is, we call it BTG Sports, is a partnership between the Buffalo Police Department with corporate sponsorship from the Buffalo Bills Foundation. And what we do is we outfit the Buffalo police officers with sports equipment, especially their neighborhood engagement team. And we go out in the community and they use sports as a tool to help them bridge the gap and build relationships with kids and the families in the different neighborhoods.
You've been around sports your whole life, you know, yeah. Your dad and yourself now. How can something like that, the bridge the gap, the officers getting out there involved in sports in the community, how can that help a community in general?
Oh, it's huge. Because right now, I mean, there's sometimes conflict between the youth and the community and police. And when if you just show up to a bunch of kids, if you're an officer or even just an adult, the kids look at you and they're almost afraid to see you. You roll up on a bunch of kids with a football in your hand, and you just say, go long, and the kids all have big, giant smiles on their faces. You become instant friends with them. And in the end, what that does, again, it helps build relationships. But then if there's a crime on that neighborhood that night or something else happens and the police officers show up, those youth are more apt, or those parents even are more apt, to share information. And that's a huge key in terms of solving crime.
You and I were talking about it. I think it was a City of Buffalo police officer, the video that went viral where he gets out of the car and he's playing touch football in the street with the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like a video like that goes viral and gets viewed a million times because it's such a unique opportunity. So that was kind of our idea. What if we took that and made it not a one-off thing, but made it an everyday occurrence for a police officer? And so, again, that's why we outfitted police officers with basketballs, footballs, and soccer balls. And then they do clinics and events and open houses that we partner with them on. And again, we're hoping that that can kind of, you know, make a partnership with the NFL and continue with the Buffalo Bills and make that really a national program.
All right. So for folks listening, you can use equipment, you can use sponsorship, victorysports.org, and also they can get you on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook is probably the best place because that's what we keep most up to date. And that's just, you can look up Victory Sports Global Outreach, and you'll find us on Facebook.
Good luck with everything. Yeah. It's a great cause, obviously.
Yeah, thank you, Howard. Appreciate you having me.
We are getting ready for the Bills and the Lions. Sal's going to join us in a moment. We've got the roundtable coming up. We'll talk about some of the storylines for today's matchup in the rare visit by the Detroit Lions, just the 11th all-time meeting between the Bills and the Detroit Lions. Usually they play in the preseason. Today's game actually counts. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 as we get you ready for kickoff coming up at 1 o'clock. Bills and the Lions. Countdown to kickoff continues on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.